and I'd like to introduce our speaker this morning. Karen Stratton is one of our newer members and one of our choristers, and as music continues to be the theme for the day, she wanted to talk to us a little more. Please, Karen.
Good morning. Can you hear me? All right. So if you've been at WOOF for the past 3 months or so, you might have noticed that that last hymn we just sang, Where Do We Come From? What Are We? Where Are We Going? Is one of my favorites. I love to sing that in this congregation. And that's actually the topic of my talk. So musically, where did we come from? What are we now? And where are we going? So I'll start with... Hold a moment. Jim warned me about that. That mic being close to the speaker over there. Anyway, we'll start from where did I come from? Because I can tell you people have asked me that over the past few months. It's like, where did you come from? Suddenly up here leading the hymns, and you're creating special music, you're singing in the choir, and now you're doing a service. Where did you come from? And so I'll tell you that I've always been a singer. I started singing in school choirs, of course, and moved on to church choirs and community choirs, and loved to sing, obviously. And I started here at WOOF in 1986, which is 33 years ago now. My husband, Roger, who was on the ukulele, and I had one little son then. He was 3 years old. And we had, before that, tried a local American Baptist congregation, which is the tradition that was for my college. But I started feeling out of place there when people were coming up and giving their testimonies about their personal relationships with God, which were heartfelt, but was not my heart. And I just couldn't relate to that. And then we tried the Multnomah Monthly Meeting of Friends, a Quaker congregation. And the theology was closer, but I couldn't stand no singing. It was a silent meeting, so I needed music. So then we tried WOOF. And I felt like UUs were my people. And the following year, actually, we only stayed here for a year. We left because a new congregation was being started in Washington County, and we were charter members out there in 1987. So the years went by. We added two more sons to the family, and I really did the rounds of the Unitarian churches on the west side. I have belonged to this congregation now 3 times, the Washington County congregation twice, and First Unitarian once. And so people have said to me, maybe you'll stick around for a while. It's like, yeah, maybe I will. I hope to. So I haven't always been active in the congregations, but I always felt like this is my faith tradition and this is my community. And the songs that we sing are really my songs. So that's where I come from. And now I'd like to tell you a little bit about where the hymnals, Singing Our Journey, and Singing the Living Tradition came from, and how they now reflect our evolving Unitarian Universalist beliefs. So I learned a lot about this at my recent Winter Elliott experience. And it was led by UU minister and songwriter Jason Shelton. And for those of you who are not at all familiar with Elliott, it's an UU organization that sponsors 4 family camps every year for Unitarian Universalists of the Pacific Northwest. And Roger and I have been regularly attending the 4-day winter camp over New Year's for years. And this past December, Jason Shelton was our theme speaker, and Debbie, who sang with me, and I were the deans of that camp, and so it was a really special one for us. Jason spent the days talking to us about our UU music, about the history of it, the challenges that we face today, and what the future holds. And he also did a lot of singing with us. He had spent 20 years as music minister in Nashville at a big congregation. So at a camp of 190 members, we had 70 people in the choir. We did not fit on the little stage at CBEC Conference Center. So, you know, we were like everywhere. And Jason brought his own songs to teach us in choir. He is a very active UU songwriter. And he's written a number of the songs in our teal hymnal. For example, he wrote Morning Has Come, which we're going to sing when I'm done talking, Fire of Commitment, which I know is popular here, and Standing on the Side of Love, which we sang a month or so ago, but we changed it to Answering the Call of Love, and that was because of what he told me at camp. Oh, I forgot to mention Rosie Hamilton was also at Winter Elliot with us. I see her out there nodding about Standing on the Side of Love. He also wrote We Bid You Welcome, which Debbie Rick and I sang this morning. So Jason's core message to the Unitarian Universalists who gathered over New Year's was that it matters that we sing, and it matters what we sing. He was literally preaching to the choir, and I feel like I'm doing that today too. So let's start now with the history of the UU singing and hymnals. If you want to look up some of the hymns I refer to, you could just hold on to these books. See, I have marked all of my hymns so that I can refer to them. So Jason taught us that the collections of songs that are in our hymn books represents who we are as an organization at the time that hymn book was created. So visitors who come to our churches, and I think we don't really have very many visitors today, maybe just, I don't know if George is a visitor with his grandchildren or not, but visitors who do come should learn who we are and what we believe, not only by the ritual that we have in our service and what our Sunday speaker talks about, but by the songs that we choose to sing. So new hymn books are created when the old ones get out of date. That means when the songs in the hymn book don't represent who we are anymore. So many of us know that for years, for most of our history, Unitarians and Universalists were separate groups. Their musical histories, however, were very similar. They both began to gather hymns officially in the late 1700s. Early Unitarians and Universalists were very similar to UUs today in that they freely changed the words of traditional Protestant hymns whenever they felt like it to suit their own theology. And they also loved to use poetry set to traditional hymn tunes. So Jason taught us that there was this whole series of traditional hymn tunes that get used for different events and different words. So if you look in Singing the Living Tradition, which is the gray one, turn to number 26. You'll see the hymn Holy, 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 which if you grew up in a Protestant church, this is a very familiar song to you. So number 26, Holy, Holy, Holy. If you look down at the bottom left, you'll see that the words are credited to a fellow named Reginald Heber. And he lived between 1738 and 1826. Well, I looked him up because I really couldn't believe that in the 18th century they were writing the words that we're singing. And I was right, they were not. Heber wrote this hymn in praise to the Nicene Creed. So if you know anything about the Nicene Creed, that is the Trinity. It was a development in Christian theology a long time ago where they decided that God was not just God anymore. It was a Trinity, God's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, you won't find that idea in our hymnal at all. So what Heber wrote was not Holy, 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 Author of Creation. He wrote Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And at the end where we sing Who was and is and evermore shall be, he wrote, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And those words are still in my brain from when I grew up. So he's credited with the words, but we really don't know who changed them. But we do know why, obviously, because we don't believe those things anymore. So in the 1800s, Unitarians and Universalists created more than 50 hymnals, which is more than any other denomination. This reflected our individualism, right? Every minister had to have their own. And some of those songs, though, still appear in the gray hymnal, but they've just been changed repeatedly over the years. So by the end of the 19th century, the Unitarians and the Universalists each published a hymnal that reflected who they were as organizations. And I think this is really funny. It kind of tells the difference between those two groups. The American Unitarian Association wrote, the hymn and tune book for the church and home, and the hymns they chose reflected their upper class roots, and they were still firmly rooted in theism. But the Universalist published the Hopedale collection of hymns and songs for the use of practical Christians. And their emphasis was on ethical behavior and social justice, and that was reflecting their evolving priorities. So continuing into the 20th century, the hymns and hymnals continued to follow the development of our faith into a more humanistic and less Christian faith. So a good example in the Gray Hymnal, Singing the Living Tradition, is number 61, Lo, the Earth Awakes Again. And if I were to hum this tune, you know that, right? Well, it didn't start as Lo, the Earth Awakes Again. Those words were written by Samuel Longfellow, who was a brother to the more famous Longfellow, but he wrote a lot of hymn tunes. The original words were written by Charles Wesley. Some of you know he started the Methodist denomination. And he wrote those words in 1739, which are, not Lo, the Earth Awakes Again, but Christ the Lord is risen today. Very famous Easter hymn, right? But we have it as Lo, the Earth Awakes Again, because, you know, it's just a matter of the evolution. And if you look at the words of that hymn, it's completely secular, except for the word Alleluia, which originally meant praise to Jehovah. I looked that up too. But now we use it as any kind of word of praise or gratitude. And we don't, you know, I don't think there's many people who sing Alleluia and go, no, you know, like if we had God, no, or Lord. So anyway, the Unitarian Universalists both had organizations in the 20th century called Commissions on Hymns and Services. They got together in 1937 and published a book called Hymns of the Spirit, which included both hymns and a book of services. And it's very interesting that this book was created jointly more than 25 years before we actually merged the two associations. And when they finally did consolidate it, they produced the first official UU hymn book called Hymns for the Celebration of Life. It was 1964. Some of you may remember that one, right? I don't personally. However, this was the 60s. It was a time of change, and it didn't take long for people to point out the limitations of the new hymnal. And so particular words were becoming unacceptable to indicate all of humankind, like mankind, like brotherhood. So congregations and individuals would just take their hymnals and they would just cross things out and put in what they wanted to read. And it also became, of course, unacceptable to refer to God as male. So no more he, no more Lord, no more Father. And so if people complained about the rapid changes, the hymn writers explained that in the past, concepts of hell and the Trinity had been removed, and they were merely responding to the evolving concept of our faith. So now another example would be Go Now in Peace, which we sing the words Spirit of Life instead of Love of God. Some of you may have learned it with Love of God, but now we sing Spirit of Life and Go Now in Peace, because many UUs are uncomfortable with the word God. And so hymnal editors and people who put services together are very sensitive to that. So now coming into the modern era, 1985, big year, because Carolyn McDade wrote Spirit of Life, which is like almost every UU congregation's theme song. And this was a turning point for UU hymn writing, because it was written for our own faith tradition. It wasn't just taking a Protestant hymn and changing it a little. It was a new song written for us. And that's what's been happening ever since. So in 1993, the Gray Hymnal that we use today was published. And this was the first time songs by people who were not white were included in a UU hymnal. And that was 1993, hard to believe that it took that long. And most of the ones that are written by people who are not white are the African-American spirituals, like 210, Wade in the Water, or 211, We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder. And then also, just as a side note, many UU hymns traditionally used language of light being good and dark being bad, which for many people, of course, reflects our history of racism. And so over recent years, a lot of those words have been changed. So in hymn number 391, which is Voice Still and Small, the second line, it used to read, in dark and rain, sorrow and pain, Now it reads, in storm and rain, sorrow and pain. Just a small change to reflect some of those issues. So only 12 years after publishing this one, there was a need for another one. 2005, the Teal Hymnal, Singing the Journey. And this hymnal, if you don't have it out, you should, because I want to show you something really interesting in it. It's arranged in an interesting manner. I mean, usually if you go to the gray one, you go to the back and you look up, themes or first lines or author or whatever. But this one is arranged, if you go to the table of contents, which is like four pieces of paper in, it's arranged by our living traditions that we share. And they are Transcending Mystery and Wonder, Words and Deeds of Prophetic Men and Women. In my book, that's crossed out, Men and Women. And it says People, because it was pointed out to me that that's our latest challenge of being inclusive, is to not use men and women all the time. It leaves people out without knowing, creates hurts. So I crossed mine out. I'm a good UU. I just crossed it out. Wisdom from the World's Religions, and so on. So I just think that's really interesting. And Jason Shelton pointed out that they did that on purpose, that it was for them. They wanted to make sure all the songs reflected one of the traditions that we share. They were very purposeful about what songs they wanted to put into this hymnal. So that's the end of the first part of my sermon. The second two parts are much shorter, don't worry. But the first part of the sermon was, where do we come from? The second part of the sermon is, what are we? And so for me, that is, who are we now? Who are we individually? Who are we as a congregation? And I think the who we are is really related to the fact that we sing. We come together every Sunday, and if we didn't sing, I bet most of you would miss that. I certainly would. And so that's where I go back to Jason's line of, it matters that we sing, and it matters what we sing. So I want you to imagine a scenario. Suppose you are new to this congregation, or you don't know anything about UUism. Maybe someone suggested trying us out, or you Googled it, or you took that What Religion Am I survey online, right? So you show up here, and then you're trying to figure out, you know, who are these people? And will I feel comfortable here? Will I fit here? And my belief is that if a newcomer comes here, they ought to be able to figure out who we are and what we believe by what we sing. And the reason why I really like this hymnal a lot is because this is all songs written in the time of, you know, now, of who we are now and who we're moving forward into. And our songs should tell the story of who we are and what we believe and what is our mission in the world. So imagine a second scenario. This is most of you, since nobody's new here. You're a longtime UU. Maybe you're in a new town, or you're visiting, you've moved. You decide to visit a local UU church. So you sit down thinking you know what to expect. But then when the congregation starts singing, you don't know any of the songs. Wouldn't that feel odd? Wouldn't that feel like, are these my people? What's going on? I mean, our songs really define who we are as people, as congregations, as a movement. So I think the songs that we sing really matter, and they should tell the story of who we are. So when Jason talks about the importance of song to create bonds within groups of people, he often asks, who went to vacation Bible school as a child, and asked people to raise their hand? And I raised my hand. I went once when I was 6 or 7 for a week. I still remember all the words to Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And the other popular favorite, Jesus Loves the Little Children, with its racist language. So if you think back to childhood and youth, you may have similar song memories, either camp or scouts or groups that you belong to, war protest songs if you were of that age in the 60s and 70s. Because groups of all kinds use song to build identity, which is why it matters for our church songs. So which ones of our church songs will stick with us and for our children who are raised in this tradition? So I, of course, inquired of my youngest son, because he's 24, and he's probably stuck with UUism longer than the others because he goes to Elliott with us. The only song he remembered from growing up UU was Spirit of Life, which is great. He's got one. But I'm thinking, you know, we could have had a lot more. I wish we had a lot more. Because singing is such a universal human experience. It evokes emotion, builds connection between people. Music creates mood. If you think of movie music, what would a movie be without music? What would a church service be without music? And so for many churches, Christian churches in particular, it's a way to glorify God, to worship God. And if you think about it, Christian songs, they're unabashedly telling the Christian story. And they're trying to, you know, exhort believers to action or belief, like in Holy, 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 or Jesus Christ is risen today. It's all about this is what we believe. So I always like to picture a Southern Baptist choir singing Amazing Grace. And you've probably seen this on TV or in a movie or something. Never experienced it personally. But if you're like me, you may be both envious and frightened of that emotion that's shared so loudly and freely through song. But those churchgoers and singers know something really fundamental, which is that music can really transform us and lift us, and it can bring us alive. So my personal spiritual belief and why I come to this congregation is that we are better together than we are alone, that we can build a better world together. Music makes me feel like I'm part of an important group. And I especially like singing in harmony because it's a metaphor for what I feel like we could do as a congregation, as a fellowship. We might not be all singing the same notes, but we're singing the same song. And it sounds better when we sing it together in harmony. So it's important for us to know our songs and why we're singing them. They need to represent who we are, who we want to be. Jason said, when you join a congregation, you agree to take off your bib and put on your apron. That has really stuck with me because it's so visual. To me, that meant when I became a member of WOOF, I agreed that the services and activities and things that happen here aren't just for my personal nourishment, enjoyment, entertainment, but I wanted to be part of the workforce and making the beloved community happen here. And so that brings me to the last part of the song and the sermon, which is after where do we come from and what are we, where are we going? So where are we going? Where am I going? Where's WOOF going? And how is any of that related to him singing? So I'm going to share with you now that when I came back to WOOF last August at Rosie's encouragement, that I had a hidden agenda. I was ready to take off my bib and put on a musical apron. My Winter Elliott experience hadn't happened yet, but I had developed this idea over the last few years of church attendance, not here, that UUs could do more with music in our services, that we could use music more effectively to express our beliefs, connect to each other, and make a joyful noise. Because singing is a part of the experience where we're not just listening like you are now to me or watching somebody else do something. But sometimes singing hymns can become really rote. You know, it's like up, down, sing, you know, not even think about it really. And I just hated that. Again, this was not here. But I felt like it was a lost opportunity that the songs that we sing are so important that I wanted to work in a place where I could make a difference, hopefully, and build the beloved community that we want here. So when I got here in August, and I joined the choir, and that was really fun, and then I went to Winter Elliott, and I came back, I was all excited, and I didn't really know what to do, how to put on my musical apron, so I went to talk to Tracy, and she was all excited about everything that she could get. I like that about her. And she invited me to the worship team, which just happened to be meeting the very next day, so I went there. By the end of that meeting, I was agreeing to give this sermon. I'd also agreed to organize some special music and to lead hymn singing during the services. So that's kind of how all that happened. it was a willing volunteer stepping forward. I'm still not exactly sure how we're getting where I have this vision of where I would like us to go, because it's like a group vision, right? And I so appreciate the others, especially from the choir, who have joined me in leading hymn singing and trying to bring more life into what we do together. So where we are going, hopefully, is that I hope that you will believe that singing matters, and it matters what we sing and that we sing every Sunday, that we deliberately pick songs every Sunday that add to the depth of the service, help our congregation share the faith. I hope that when someone does walk in here for the first time, that they can hear and feel the spirit and purpose through our songs as well as the rest of our service, that they know they're welcome to join in just as I am. So I've talked to you a lot about what matters, and I'll tell you what doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to me if we sing perfectly. Doesn't matter to me if we get the harmonies wrong sometimes when we're trying something out, or if the round goes bad. Doesn't matter. Because humor and not taking ourselves too seriously also matters a lot to me. I love it when we put our heart and souls into making music together. When choir members come up front to lead hymns, my hope is that we will sing to each other, that we'll sing the songs until they're part of us and we don't need to be right in the book all the time. We can lift our eyes. You'll be amazed at, if you're up here, what you can see on people's faces when they're singing, whether it's trouble or whether it's joy or whether it's, I want to get to know you better. I hope we all eventually feel comfortable enough to actually sway or even clap or try a little spontaneous harmony, like I said. And I hope we leave the service humming one of the songs. So to end, let's just sing with joy, shake the rafters, which we don't have, sing out the story of where we came from, who we are, and where we're going. Thank you for listening, and sing with me anytime.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you to everyone who have shared their musical gifts with us today, and to those who do every Sunday. It really does, truly.